Good morning and Happy New Year to all of you. It's so good to be here with you on the first day of the year. It's a great way to begin this 2012. I invite you to open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, I want to talk about a few things this morning just to help us start the year off well. I'm not going to get into things like resolutions or anything like that, but just some very basic thoughts, some principles, some godly perspectives on life that I believe will help us as we go throughout this year, and the kind of attitude that we ought to have, and the way that we ought to view our life in Christ throughout the next year. It's kind of nice for most of the holiday festivities to be over with. We can kind of get back to work. I don't know about you. I enjoy the little lull and the break, but then it's kind of nice to get things going again and get started and to get back to the regular routine. And if you're like me, you're kind of glad that that's about to happen again. And just a good time of year to get things going and to get started and having some goals in mind and to set some new ideas in your life of what you want to do. And good to be together on the first day of the year. Let's begin reading Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 7. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 7. Go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. Let your garments be always white. Let not oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life that he has given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. Again, I saw that under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all. For man does not know his time. Like fish that are taken in an evil net, and like birds that are caught in a snare, so the children of men are snared at an evil time when it suddenly falls upon them. Most people start out a year thinking of all the things they want to do in the coming year, and all the goals and things they want to accomplish. And we focus so much maybe on specific issues that it can be very easy to miss the big picture and to think about what really matters. And so that's one reason I want to focus maybe on some big picture items, some things that are a little bit more broad, just to give us a good perspective on how we ought to begin this year off. These things are not complicated. They're very simple pieces of wisdom that we find here in the words of the wise man in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And there are a lot of good things that can come from these simple observations made by the wise man here and what he tells us we ought to be doing or how we ought to be living our life. The first of those is just simply that we ought to work hard. In 2012, and this year, I need to decide that I'm going to work hard at what I do, whether it is my job or whether it is in raising my family or all of those things together. The things that I find to do in my life, I need to work hard at them. Working hard is essential to godly character. It is really just a part of who we are. If we claim to be a child of God or a follower of Christ, then we need to be the kind of person who works hard at the things that we do. It says a whole lot about our faith, the kind of work ethic that we have. And like I said, I'm applying this maybe more specifically to our jobs, but this goes to various aspects of life as well, even beyond that. That when people look at us, when they look at me and they look at you, what they ought to recognize about us is that we are hard workers, that we do the job right, that we're someone that can be counted on. And there are a lot of good reasons for that. I want to go to some New Testament passages that talk a little bit about this, beginning with Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians, the sixth chapter, Paul is addressing slaves here, which a while back in one of our classes in Philemon, we talked a little bit about the concept of slavery in this time, and really it matches quite closely to the employer-employee relationship today. It's not typically what we think of as slaves because of our history, but these were people who they owed a debt, and so they were working this off, and Paul's giving them some advice here on how they are to live their life. He says, beginning in verse 5, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. And Paul here is not talking about anything other than just their everyday job, what they did as slaves, as servants of their masters. But I want you to notice three times in this very short text, the wording he uses here, that they are to work as you would for Christ. Verse 5, he talks about obeying these masters as they would obey Christ. In verse 6, not working as eye services, as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ doing the will of God. He adds on to that. And then verse 7, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. And what that tells me about my perspective as a child of God is that when I look at my job or the various tasks that I do in life, every single one of them, I should look at that as something by means of which I am serving Christ. I am doing this by the will of God from the heart. It doesn't matter what your job is. It doesn't matter what your task is. For one thing, you ought to be able to do it to the glory of God because he's told us to work with our hands, that we need to be people who are at work, who are not lazy, but in fact, that we do this as people just as we are serving God, as we are serving Christ. That's the attitude that we ought to have. And really, it doesn't matter what our boss or what our employer does to us or how they treat us. If we're going to do that job, we ought to do it right. We ought to work hard. And it says a lot about our character, about our integrity, about who we are if we follow passages like Ephesians chapter 6, 5 through 7. And understanding that whatever I do in life, and that everything I do in life, as it said in Colossians chapter 3, we ought to be able to do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks. That whatever is happening in our life, whether we're working, whether we're raising our family, whether we're going to school, whatever it might be, we ought to be able to do all of that in honor of God. And we need to do that to the best of our ability. And there are some reasons for that. We're told we ought to be this way, but let's look at a passage that tells us maybe a reason why we ought to do that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and 11 and 12, it says this. He's telling them to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. There is an aspect, one of these things that is part of this is working hard, working with our own hands. There's an aspect of this that's going to have an influence on the people around us. That's going to impact them. When they see the kind of life that we live and the attitude that we have and the perspective that we have in life, they're going to say, that is a good person. And as they're looking into our life and they're seeing the way that we live and they realize we're a good person, they find at the very base of that, the very foundation of our attitude and our work ethic and our willingness to put everything into what we're doing, at the very foundation of that is Christ Jesus. If we want to have an impact on people, influence, very often it's going to be through our daily activities. And for most of us, that is going to involve what we do at school or what we do at work. There are those who are retired that might have different aspects of life that they're in and how they're interacting with different people. They aren't working full-time anymore. But for the most part, we are working, we're going to school, we're interacting on a daily basis with people, and the way that we do those activities is going to say a lot about who we are to the people around us. It's going to tell them if we are really serious, if we are really passionate about our faith. If they see us as someone who kind of cuts corners and doesn't really do the job the way it ought to be done, or maybe we don't really put ourselves into our studies the way that we ought to, that says something about us a little bit, doesn't it? It tells people the kind of person that we really are and how we're using the blessings that God has given us. And Jesus tells us that we need to be lights to the world. And if we want to be lights to the world, we need to take pieces of wisdom like we have here in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, where it tells us, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. We need to take pieces of wisdom like that and apply it in our life in every way that we can so that when someone looks at us, they see somebody who is living for Jesus Christ. Someone they can look to as a beacon of light. Someone they can turn to when they are in a time of need, when they realize they're not what they ought to be, and say, I want to be more like that person, and search and find why that person is the way they are, and ultimately find it's because of their relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we need to be focusing on in 2012. And one of the ways that we can influence people is by working hard. But whatever our hand finds to do, doing it with our might. We'll come back to the second part of that passage in just a minute. But I want to turn back your attention to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 8, where it says, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Another reason why we have this wisdom in Scripture telling us to work hard is because when we work hard, we're going to receive blessings back from the Lord. And this is generally speaking. These pieces of wisdom literature are often dealing with very general principles. And this is a general principle. If we work hard and we are diligent, then we are going to be blessed. And that's what Paul's talking about here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 8, that the one who does good, anyone who does good, they're going to receive back from the Lord, which brings me to the next principle, the idea we need to keep in mind for this coming year. And that is that not only do we need to work hard and whatever we find to do with our hands, do it with all of our might, but also we need to make sure we're not missing out on the blessings that God has given us in life, that we are enjoying what God has given us. Sometimes we get the idea, I think, that we just aren't supposed to enjoy life. That God doesn't really want us to have a good time while we're here, or that everything has to be kind of solemn and gloomy. And that is not at all what we find in Scripture. In fact, that's not at all what we find here in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. It is quite the opposite. We see both perspectives, that we are to work hard and we are to be diligent, but then also we are to enjoy life, the life that God has blessed us with. And specifically here, he points to the marriage relationship. Enjoy life with a wife whom you love all the days of your vain life. Life is vain, and we're going to come to that in just a minute. It's passing away. We're not going to have it very long, which is why we need to work hard while we can. And it's why we need to take occasions to enjoy life like most of us have been doing the last few weeks. Things slow down, and we're able to spend some more time with family, with our extended family as well, and there's good reason for that. God wants us to be able to do those sorts of things. He wants us to enjoy life. In fact, that's what it tells us here in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 9. And what God wants us to do is make good use of the blessings he has provided for us. He says, go, eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. Now, that's because you've worked hard, and he's going to come to that in just a minute. He expects us to work hard. And expects us to do what we ought to do in our lives in terms of working with our hands and being diligent. And when we do that, there is nothing wrong with enjoying the blessings that God has given to us, to being wealthy and enjoying it. In fact, we see people all throughout Scripture, people like David or Solomon or Abraham or Jacob, various other people within the pages of Scripture who God blessed very greatly, who he gave lots of wealth to. In fact, part of the promise to the Israelites when they came to the promised land is that they were going to be wealthy as long as they were obedient to him. I think we understand that things in the New Testament are somewhat different, and that is not the ultimate promise. The ultimate promise is eternal life. But Paul does tell us in 1 Timothy chapter 5 that we have the promise of the life that now is, as well as the life to come. That if we follow the plan of God, if we are obedient to his will, generally speaking, we're going to have some blessings from that. We're going to receive back from the Lord. Those who do good are going to receive back. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with enjoying what God has blessed us with. We need to take time to appreciate the importance of family, the importance of our friends. For some people, it's very easy for them to get wrapped up in the first thing we talked about, working hard. And that's all they think about. We call them workaholics. That's what they do with their life, and they neglect their family, they neglect their friends. And I would say for the most part, those people are miserable, maybe more miserable than they would admit, because they don't have relationships. They're not following this aspect of this godly, divine blessing that we have of friends and family in this life. There's a reason why he has set these relationships up for us, because we need each other and we need to be encouraged and uplifted with each other. We need to enjoy our time together, just as he says here. We need to work hard. We need to be diligent, but then also we need to take time to enjoy the life that God has given us while we are here. And that's exactly what he tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. That we need to enjoy the time with our wife, with our family. This is the portion, he says, in life, in the toil at which you toil under the sun. Maybe on a side note from this, I know people, or I have known people, who they don't really follow the first part of what we talked about. They don't really work hard. They don't seem very diligent, but they really want to enjoy life. They always want to go on vacations. They always want to spend time playing and having fun. And what I get and what I grasp from this passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 is that's not really how it works. How it works is we work hard and we are diligent and we work hard with our hands and we work with all our might. And when we do that, enjoying life, that is our portion. That's what he explains here, because that is your portion in life and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. If you don't toil, don't expect to enjoy life very much. And don't complain when you can't enjoy life because you don't have anything. There's a reason why we have this godly wisdom, how he instructs us to work and to do what we ought to do with all our might, so then we can actually enjoy life as he has planned for us while we are here for this short amount of time. God expects us to take what he has given us and to use it well. And we have passages in the New Testament that describe this as well. Places like Acts 4 and verse 34, we have here that wealth is not pictured as something negative, as something bad. Very often in the New Testament, we turn to places like the rich young ruler, and we picture wealth as being some terrible thing. And it can be terrible for people, and it can pull them away from God, but that's not always the case. In Acts chapter 4, we have a situation where people were being good stewards of the blessings God had given them. They had worked hard, they had been blessed, and now they are selling these properties, and they are giving to people who have need. That's the sort of thing that God wants us to do in our life with the blessings he's given us, is to use them properly and to be thankful for what we have. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, it says in Philippians chapter 4. And don't be anxious about the things in the world, he tells us, but with all prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, giving thanks, being thankful to God. But maybe this last point is the most important of all. And that is that the wise man points out to us that time and chance happen to us all. In fact, that's what he's getting to when he talks about working hard and when he talks about enjoying life, is that really that life is unpredictable. And that's something that we need to understand in this coming year, that life is unpredictable. We have no idea what's going to happen to us over this next year. I'll tell you what happens over the course of a year. People die. And people are born. People lose jobs and people get jobs. Many of time, those times, we have no idea those things are coming. We don't know maybe that we're going to lose our job or that we're going to get another job. We don't know that somebody's going to die. We don't know that someone's going to get pregnant and have another baby. Those things just happen throughout the year. Life is unpredictable, and we're not sure exactly what's going to take place in life. And that's why we need to be people who are working hard when we can work hard. We need to be people who are enjoying life when we can enjoy life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, he goes into a little bit more detail about that, talking about a time when it's difficult to enjoy life, when we have pain and we have worries and we have difficulties as we grow older. We need to enjoy life while we can. There might be a time where we get to a point where we're disabled and we can't work hard. We need to work hard while we can work hard. Because time and chance happen to us all. Those of you who have lived quite a bit longer than I have could talk about this better than I could. But I'll say this, life doesn't always happen as we think it should. Things don't always turn out the way that we imagine them. Young people, I'm sure you have lots of dreams and goals and aspirations in life, and I'm not here to squash those and tell you they're never going to happen. But I will tell you that life is not going to turn out exactly how you think. And that's okay. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what time is going to bring. We don't know what chance is going to bring in our life. And I'm not telling you that you should be depressed and down by that. What I'm saying is that we need to embrace the uncertainty of life and realize we don't know what's going to happen, and that should shape our perspective on life. That should change the way that we view life. And what is the priority in life, what is most important, is that we are doing the will of God. That whatever we are doing, we are doing it to the glory of God and by His authority, and that we are working in a way that can honor God, that we are working as if we're working for the Lord, that we are enjoying the blessings that God has given us, and we're never losing sight of the fact that in a moment it can all be taken away. And that's just how life is under the sun, as the wise man says. Notice some of the early verses that we didn't read starting out this morning. He says in verse 2 of chapter 9, "It is the same for all. Since the same events happen to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and the evil, to the clean and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As the good one is, so is the sinner. He who swears is as he who shuns an oath. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun. The same events happen to all." When I read that, I just think of Job. And how different this concept of life is from what people of old thought. Job's friends come. They don't think this at all, do they? They think Job must have been a sinner. He had to have done something wrong. But what the wise man understands is that in this life, under the sun, the same events happen to everyone. And that's just how life is. Good people die at an early age, bad people die at an early age. Good people live to be old, bad people live to be old. Good people become wealthy, bad people become wealthy. Good people become poor, bad people become poor. That's just how life is here. There are inequities of life that happen under the sun, but the reality is what's most important is what's going to happen above the sun. We are in eternity forever with God. That's what is truly important, and people who are God's children understand that was what really matters. And going forward throughout this year, whatever happens, whether it is wealth and health, or whether it is illness and poverty, we don't know exactly what's going to happen and what's going to come in our life, but what we can know is that we can depend on God and that He has promised us the promise of eternal life, as we're told in 1 John chapter 2. And that is the most significant thing about our life under the sun, our life here, is that we are living it by the will and by the glory of God. So that whatever happens while we are here, whether it seems unfair, whether it doesn't seem to be right, that we know deep down that none of that matters, because in the end, God is going to vindicate those who are His. In our Bible reading this morning in Psalm 58, we ended with that thought. Psalm 58 in verse 11, if you'll turn back there and read this with me. The psalmist understands the inequities of life. This is not the only time that this happens. But psalms like this are meant to give heart to those who are in oppression, those who are facing difficulty, those who are having problems with people around them, that there is something beyond this. Though the righteous will rejoice when he sees the vengeance, he will bathe his feet in the blood of the wicked. Why is he talking about this? Because the wicked are oppressing the righteous. It doesn't seem right. Mankind will say, he says here at the end in verse 11, surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely there is a God who judges on earth. The end of 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul talks about this, that some people's sins are obvious, they're clearly seen, and some are going to come later. And the same thing for the good actions. Some people's good actions are going to be clearly seen, but some things are going to come later. And the idea there is the same things happen to all of us, but in the end, God is going to judge. He's going to vindicate His people. There is a God who judges on the earth. And though it might seem that things aren't fair here, that life is uncertain, and that bad things happen to good people, what really matters is that in the end, God will vindicate those who are His. So I want us to begin the year with these thoughts. God wants his people to be people who work hard, who work with their hands and with their might to do the things that they see to do, to put their whole selves into it, just as if they're working for God, as they're working for Christ, people who enjoy life, who recognize that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above, and give honor and glory and credit where credit is due. And I believe he wants us to be people who embrace the uncertainties of life and let that guide us into these first principles, into the idea that we need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seeking first the kingdom of God and embracing the uncertainty of life in your life this morning might mean that you need to come to Christ and give your life to him. Be baptized in water for the remission of sins so you can come out of the water in newness of life. So you can wipe away the sins in your life and be fresh and new before God. You can be reconciled to him, no longer be separated by sin. And if that's the case, we would love to help you do that by obeying what we find in Scripture, following the command of God. And maybe you're a Christian, you've done that, you've given your life to Christ, but you find yourself not living the way that you know you ought to. If that's the case, you need to make it right. Why not start this year off the right way? Bring your life, bring your broken life, if that's the case, where it is, back to God, and make it right with him this morning. Can we help you do that? Why don't you come now as we stand and we sing together?